I'm happy to introduce Brother David to you as our speaker this morning and ask that you might give him your careful attention and that you might remember him in your private prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And I'm glad to be here. Another day to enjoy. I want to start out this morning with a little bit of prophecy out of the Psalms. And then we'll see how that prophecy came about. I want to read in Psalm 69 and verses 7 through 9. Because of thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. Now, this is David prophesying of things that would come about with Christ. And if we go to Romans chapter 15 and read verses 3 and 4, it says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our hearing, our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Paul saying here a little bit of what was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. If we go to John, the second chapter, we find where the prophecies of these of David came true, and as Paul spoke of it, this is where it actually happened. First off, I want to know if we understand what reproach is. I looked it up because I thought I knew, but I wanted to be sure. And approach means disgrace. Or blame, or scorn, or rebuke, accusations, and discredit. All these were things that happened to Christ. He was reproached. And he had a little bit of rebellion in him. When he saw what these people who reproached him were doing to the house of his father. And this is where we're going to take up the story in the second chapter of John, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And that's just exactly what David had recorded there about those that reproached, and the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And so we see here that the Lord fulfilled prophecy. by overturning the tables of the money changers and driving them out of the temple. If we read on here, it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." We know that when Christ was crucified in the third day, he rose up in that temple of his body, came forth again as he appeared unto his disciples, and as he appeared unto the people in this land, not just once or twice, but several times, to teach the people, to let them know that he had overcome the grave, that he had made victory out of death, not sorrow. As the disciples remembered the scripture that they knew from David and the prophets of old, we have scripture today that is written for our understanding, for us to know of the things that are coming. Just as it was fulfilled in the first coming of Christ, it will be fulfilled again. So we need to pay attention to what we have, the Word of God, the Word of truth, and apply it to our lives. I want to read some out of Galatians, the second chapter. And we're just going to kind of work our way through the New Testament here. Galatians, second chapter, and I'm going to read starting on verse 11. Read through 21. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were the circumcision." Those of the circumcision would be the Jews. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not do as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." So Paul was kind of getting after Peter here for changing his ways just because other people showed up. And he said, we don't live according to the law if we are followers of Christ. Even though we might be reproached, we live according to the justification of Christ, not under the law. "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We know that those who were hard-hearted had to have law to keep order in their lives. But after Christ came and set the example for us and showed us how to live according to his commandments and not according to the laws of Mosaic, where you sacrifice blood of animals for forgiveness of sin and this type of thing, we've gone beyond that. Christ showed us how to go beyond that. For the sacrifice of the blood of animals no longer meant anything to God, because that had been fulfilled. And he expects a little bit more out of those who live in the present, who have witnessed the things which Christ suffered, the reproach of Christ, and the example that he set that was not according to the old laws, but he gave us a new commandment and new rules to live by. If we go to the third chapter in Galatians, I want to read 21 through 29. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we see that Paul kind of spells it out here, pretty plain language, that the law had its place in the beginning. But now that we are baptized and take up the name of Christ, we are subject to Christ and not to the law. Through our faith, we are children of God, not children of a schoolmaster that taught those that were hard-hearted. He told us that living by law is not righteousness. Let's go over to Thessalonians just a couple of books later. Second chapter, verses 7 through 12. But we were Gentile among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we see that Paul and the disciples put a lot of effort into what they taught the people. They also put effort into making a living so that they could not be charged by the people or blamed or accused of living off the people or, in other words, reproached. They cannot be reproached because they provided for themselves. And in the meantime, they also provided whatever the people needed in understanding and in truth of the word that they taught so effectively with a great spirit and with power. The people got to see many miracles that were performed by the disciples. And there was only one way that those miracles could come about, and that was through the Holy Spirit that dwelled within those disciples. If we go over to 2 Timothy, another couple of books over here. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the heart, hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The first part of this reading, it's a little bit harsh. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him, and if we deny him, he also will deny us. We know that the scripture tells us that we reap whatever we sow. But there's a lot of people that believe, regardless of what they do, they will be forgiven and Christ has died for their sins, so they don't have to worry about it. Regardless of what they do, they're saved. But if we deny Christ, how can he say that we are his? Because that would make him a liar. So if we're not doing the things that Christ has commanded that we should do, we're basically denying him. And if we say, yes, I know this is wrong, but I know I can be forgiven for it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, we've just denied Christ. And he's going to deny us unless we repent of those things which we have done. Because we don't want to reproach Christ, accuse him of being too harsh, because he told us, my yoke is easy. It's not that hard to follow after the things that Christ has set the example for. It's to let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It isn't all that easy sometimes. And we all make mistakes, but when we do those things on purpose, and that's when it comes down to whether Christ is going to support us or whether he's going to deny us. And he doesn't want to lose anyone. And he'll give us many reminders that we should be following after the commandments that God gave to Christ to give to us. I want to go to the third chapter in 2 Timothy here and read 1 through 17. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is prophecy. This is prophecy of the latter days in which we're approaching. And if you don't think we suffer persecutions, you got another thing coming. A kind of a I don't know if you'd call it persecution or just a direct spit in the face, but there's going to be a newsletter coming out for the place where I am employed, and they never said a word to me, but they called everybody else at home and said, we're going to have a group photo And they were supposed to do it about noon. They did it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't there, and I didn't even know about it until after the photo was taken, and then they posted it up on the wall. And I guess I haven't seen it, but I guess Vi's not in it either. Do you think we're not persecuted? We are. But when they have a question, they call me and ask me on the telephone, what do we do now? And I give them the answer, and I do my job, and I go about it, and I don't let it bother me. Because this scripture right here that I just read tells me what to expect. And it's not a surprise. I don't take part in their parties where they go out to Highline and drink beer and get crazy. Most of the time it's because I can't go. I'm either working or I'm out of town or something's usually in the way. But because I don't take part in that, I'm persecuted. And I could care less. Because I know that when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm providing for myself, and I do the best I can at my job. And just like Paul said, they can't charge me with that. It's not there. There's no reproach to be made. I want to go back to Psalms, at the 95th Psalm. I'm going to read 6 through 8. O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You know, when the people of Israel were led out of Egypt, they saw many, many miracles. They saw the hand of God. First prophesied, and then it happened. And they still denied it. If you can imagine following one who had parted the Red Sea, and you walk up on the dry ground to the other side, and then you see the destruction of the soldiers that are chasing you, but still deny that God has the power. Those were hard-hearted people, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness until that generation had passed away before they were led into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. People are stubborn, and they learn the hard way. And the Lord knows this. But He also gives us warning, and He gives us the prophecies, so that we can study the scripture and learn what it is that we should know and to believe it and to apply it to our lives. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read 4 through 11. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into My rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? So here again, Paul, quoting what David had written in the 95th Psalm there, that today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We have to be careful not to harden our hearts. It wouldn't be hard to harden our hearts if we let the things of the world get to us. Let the stress and the strife and the reproach of the world affect our lives. Then before you know it, we'd be just as hard as those that are doing the reproaching. Because that'll be your defense if you don't have trust in God. I want to go to chapter 13 in Hebrews and read 1 through 6. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is not changed. He's still the same Jesus Christ that came and appeared in the flesh and the blood and set the example, who suffered reproach, who suffered death. And in most cases, suffered more pain than any of us will ever know. And he did it all for us. Showing us that life is not easy. Life yesterday wasn't easy. Life today isn't that easy. But we suffer in the flesh and blood, and if we endure to the end, then we get that which we have sowed. Those treasures which we have stored in heaven are there waiting for us. And the life after this one is going to be so much better because of the things which we have taken upon us, the name of Christ, the belief. We study the words which are left for us and the prophecies, and we don't deny them. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. If we're not going to give the safekeeping of our souls to God who created us, who are we going to give it to? Well, Scripture tells us there's only one other that we can. We can't straddle the fence, as it says in Revelations. It says, I would that you be hot or you be cold. You can't be in between. So if we put the safekeeping of our souls in God's hands, then Satan will have no part of us. But we have to understand the Scriptures. We have to understand the things which are written for our sake. Because that's why they're there. That's why God went to Nephi and he said, did this happen? And Nephi said, yes. And he said, then why didn't you write it down? Write it down. Because that was written for our sakes. So that we could study it, so that we could understand it, so that we knew that even though those things might not have had a lot of importance to the people who had to write it, it had importance for the generations afterwards. These scriptures are here for our use. We just have to understand them. And we have to pray that the Lord will keep us safe and keep us strong, keep us faithful when the world reproaches us. Because by ourselves, you can't withstand all the things that the world has. Because Satan's behind it all, and Satan has a way of getting under the skin to the point where it becomes physical, it becomes spiritual, it becomes everything that we live for. And it becomes a thing that will possess us unless we keep the understanding that our souls belong to God and that we will follow after Him in all that we do. And there will be no reproach from the world. Thank you.